Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 4 recap for Survivor Winners at War a little bit later this time than normal. I knew it was going to happen, and it sure enough happened. My boss walked in the room at 5 on the dot and said, Phil, I need you to help me with something. I'm like, he was about to say previously on, if he still said that. He doesn't anymore. But that's beside the point, because we're not going to here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the only important thing that happened on tonight's episode, which was, of course, Edge of Extinction. Literally the only important thing that happened on tonight's episode pretty much took up 35 of the 42 minutes that we have. Alexa, what was your take on Edge? Because I know even as somebody who wasn't watching and was trying not to look at my phone, every tweet we got at us was about Edge of Extinction. What was your take on this?
Well, what do you think is going to last longer, tonight's podcast or Edge of Extinction? Because I'm putting my money on Edge of Extinction. I don't know. I looked at our mentions and it's kind of half and half. So I go a lot of ways here. I love Ethan. This was mm-hmm. so good for Ethan. Amber was the one who narrated this. Natalie Anderson, I mean, if she's not freaking winning this thing, like, what have we been doing spending all of our time with her? Also, if anyone ever goes on Survivor, become a CrossFit person. Natalie Anderson is a fucking animal. Oops, sorry. Danny
Boatwright, I know,
coming in hot. Danny has an awesome confessional about now giving childbirth. Like, you at least get something out of childbirth. You could have shaved 5 minutes. I get
it was almost 10 minutes long.
I get that that was the path, and I get that these shots were gorgeous. We get the Ethan getting hurt shot, and I love them all coming up together. It's all good, but shorten that down. I know I've been wanting to watch Ethan for how many years? I know we've all been wanting to watch Ethan for how many years? I could have gotten that in 5 minutes.
I could have gotten it in 3. That's my biggest problem, is this was almost 10 minutes long. And I love Ethan. I mean, I was always a big Ethan fan.
Yeah.
I've said that so many times. I don't mind the characters who are there, but for all intents and purposes, they're out of the game. They've been voted out. And right now, no matter what they're doing on that island, the only thing that matters to me is who wins their way back into the game. Because I don't give a crap about anything else. Like, and this isn't a knock on anybody who's out there. This is literally just saying that anybody who does not come back from Edge of Extinction wasted my time tonight. And if one of those four is going to come back at some point, or maybe Tyson does. I mean, Tyson, you just had Tyson get sent there, one of the better challenge performers on this season, especially in those individual type challenges that this one is definitely going to be. But to sit there and watch that for so long, it just takes up so much time. And all I'm thinking to myself is, they're not even in the game. There's no strategizing, anything like that. And I get this was a big thing and this is a big challenge, and I love that we got Ethan. I'm fine with that. I'm a huge Ethan fan. But we are literally sitting here watching people who were voted out do nothing. Or do something, but something that I don't care about. Like, I'm sorry, I just don't care.
If Ethan wasn't there, people would be up in arms about it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think I'm glad that it wasn't sending another in advantage. Someone made a really good point. Like, I'm glad that it wasn't someone sending another advantage into the game. They all got fire tokens. I assume so. Yeah, they all got fire tokens.
Yeah, they all got fire tokens.
I didn't need it to be that long. I don't know. I didn't need to see all that much of it. I really didn't. And yes, it resulted in a great moment with Tyson and Amber when he comes in and he's like, where'd y'all get all that firewood? And Amber has like a mental breakdown again over
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people cried tonight. Huge for people who picked someone to cry.
Yeah. No, and
didn't need it. Didn't need that much. Sorry.
I agree. And then I have another big complaint here, and I'm just going to keep going. So if anybody who really likes this, and we have Swale Nita, I'm going to butcher that, but they said, now that Tyson is on Edge, do you want more Edge scenes? No.
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 Say it on three. Put Tony there. I don't need to see it.
Put Michelle there. I don't want to see it.
I don't want to.
Everybody just heard that right now.
Michelle and Wendell there. Michelle and Wendell don't want to see it.
I know. I don't want to see Edge of Extinction for this long. And like, it's fine if it's a minute or two. And now what's going to crack me up about this is, I know for certain in the comments, when we wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be like, y'all spent way too much time on Edge of Extinction. Well, so did CBS. Okay. So
did EBS.
We're not even halfway to how long it took them on Edge of Extinction. So you sit there and buckle up, because it ain't over yet. But my biggest complaint of the entire thing is everything. Everything that is wrong with Edge of Extinction. And it was Amber and Danny had like this split confessional around Ethan when they all walked up to get his last log. And it's a line about how they bonded so tight going through this. That is why this is wrong, because now Ethan, Amber, Danny, and Natalie have been through something together. Well, guess what? They didn't deserve to go through this together. They were voted out. And like, it's cool. If there's going to be Edge of Extinction, I would much rather see this type of thing than just, you know, oh, it's in the bottom of the well. Like, they are physically going through it. I mean, Ethan's thing, it was great. And had this happened on the regular island, I would have been like, damn, this is awesome. And while it was still emotional, I was like, I just don't like, there's nothing going on here. And if Ethan doesn't come back into the game at some point, why did I just spend 10 minutes with somebody who's not coming back into the game? Anyway, I just think that the biggest problem is this bond, because it's why Chris Underwood won, and it's what gives these people such an advantage for being voted out. You should not be rewarded for, and obviously they're winners, so I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but you should not be rewarded for being bad at the game. Like, you should not be rewarded for being voted out. That's just not how it should be. So I'm up in arms. I couldn't believe how long it went on. I was checking my watch. I was like, I almost feel like if I were to watch this episode again, I would just skip the whole thing. And that's not a knock on any of them. It's exactly. Just, why did we get it for so long?
It's like the, I can't believe I'm about to make this comparison. It's like the exile yacht where Cochran is giving advice to people. Like, I don't care if it was Suri who was giving advice to people. I don't care if it was Richard Hatch. Don't give me that crap. That's dumb. It's just,
yeah,
why, I agree. Like, I don't know. Why do we need to see it? Why they almost died? A lot of questions.
Yeah, I know.
Like, holy God, Survivor's trying to kill these people. But, and again, like, crazy good challenge. And also, are we going to count this as a challenge? Do these people get over an hour, in a challenge?
No, I'm not doing that. No.
Because they're not in the game.
Yeah, they're not in the game. Like, it's just, it's not the same thing. And I always think of it as like an endurance challenge. Like, this was endurance, but we don't actually know how much time elapsed. And since they didn't specifically say how much time elapsed, you can't give it, because we're just guesstimating at that point. But yeah, is there an argument to be made that this was actually too hard of a challenge?
Possibly, but you know what? They're also not really doing anything out there. Mm-hmm. So to counteract what we've been complaining about, I would rather watch this than them just sitting there being sad. Absolutely. And bored, but cut it in half. Slice it in half.
I guess for Survivor, it just really worked in their favor, because Ethan was the one who got voted out right before this. And had it been somebody smaller, like let's say it had been Denise. Okay, Denise gets voted out. Michelle gets voted out. Sophie gets voted out.
It's 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's 3 minutes long. It's, oh, we got to do this. And it focuses almost entirely on Natalie Anderson. But like,
Natalie's coming back.
No, yeah, Natalie's coming back at some point, it feels like. But then again, so could Ethan. And we have Tyson's storyline. Like, they're giving a lot of emotion to this, which is cool, because it's hiding who's going to be coming back. And we know that two people are going to come back at some point, probably at the merge and probably later on. But it's really doing a good job of hiding that. However, I still don't care. Hide it so well that we don't go to Edge of Extinction. How about that instead?
I mean, Amber was, I think, got the most confessionals out of it.
She got a lot. She got a lot. And again, I don't think Amber has any chance at getting back in the game. So why did we watch so much of Amber tonight?
I don't know. But then we cut to Sarah being awesome.
Yeah, I know. And I love this.
All of y'all Sarah haters, she's funny. Like, that was great. She loves Tyson and then splits his throat.
I know.
She was so good. There was a really good secret scene with Sarah and I believe Tyson again, or Sarah and somebody. Like, this is why she won Game Changers. This is why people are so threatened by her, because she's so naturally, like, she's so gregarious and so open with these people. They all love her. And then when she's talking to us, she's like, she can like completely disassociate herself. And it's really, really impressive.
Yeah. I was in a dream world. That alliance worked. The Sandra, Tony, Sarah, Tyson, and who was the fifth? Who was their fifth there? Sandra, Tony, Sarah, Kim. Tyson, and Kim. That works in a dream world. And I like the other four, but that would have just been so funny to see. And it did make sense. I mean, Tyson's pitch made sense. And I love that Tyson and Sarah, like, they have this same personality where they're just going at each other. Yeah. And like, it's like, who's your favorite person here? Sarah. Well, mine's Tyson. Well, look mine's at that. Like,
so good.
It's so good because they're both just such ridiculous people. So I really enjoyed watching this. I'm glad we got a lot more because, like, remember when Tyson went out in Heroes Villains, we got like no personality from him that season. So I'm glad that even though he went out early this season, we got a lot of personality from him because Tyson is the best, like, I believe the best confessional giver on this season. If you look at it from how he's been every season, he's just delivered gold every time. Mm. Heroes, Villains, they just didn't give him the screen time that was necessary.
So what, I mean, let's get right into it. Why don't they had the numbers. Why didn't they do it?
Because they're worried about everything on the other side. They know he's close with Boston Rob. They know that he's close with Parvati.
Anything to do with Sandra putting her foot down?
And it probably did.
Kind of being a little, I think if that was it, I think that's kind of an emotional move because I think getting rid of him, I don't know.
I don't think it's a good move, but I think they know a swap is coming. And let's say you're on a smaller tribe already and it's five and you might have the numbers to get rid of Tyson, or it's between Tyson and Nick and you can pick off either one and you have, you know, tribes of five, three tribes of five, your tribe of five can either pick off Tyson or Nick. You probably vote off Nick because you already know where you stand with Tyson. I think it's the fear of the unknown. You got to remember, Tyson started on a tribe and was aligned with Boston Rob very closely in Heroes Villains. They're very close in real life. Him and Jeremy are kind of close. Like, I know they played the poker thing together. That counts for something. He has too many connections. Tyson was probably the best connected person in this game. Mm-hmm. And so you have to get rid of him just in case. Now, Tyson could easily win his way back in. Right now, you're looking over there. Ethan, obviously not what he used to be. You have Danny. Natalie Anderson's an absolute beast. Yeah, she's Tyson awesome.
Natalie.
But right now, I'm leaning probably towards Tyson just because he's proven it. And he was in the game a little bit longer. Like, Natalie Anderson's had to expend so much more energy just by being out on the edge of extinction. I mean, at this point, though, Natalie Anderson better win the freaking game, because otherwise, why did we see so much of Natalie Anderson in these first four episodes?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I think you're right. I think if this vote had if the Red Tribe went to Tribal Council last week, Nick goes home and not Tyson. But I think you're right. I think the swap had a lot to do with it.
I think it had a lot to do with it. And we'll talk about that with the other side too, because we see a lot of this talk of like Adam and Boston Rob and all of that. And by the way, anybody who thinks that I hate Boston Rob, I have written down and circled right here. Wait, how do I get this on here? Boston Rob MVP. I thought Boston Rob had a phenomenal episode tonight. I thought he was great. That comeback was epic. But I think we should start on that tribe with what actually started off the episode.
Yeah, which someone said Adam's apology tour was not as either extensive, not as good as he wanted it to be. It's because it was cut short because Edge of Extinction is 20 minutes long.
Hey, speaking of cut short, Adam was castrated. So just so everybody knows. Whoa, like,
Adam Klein.
I mean, and my favorite thing was like Michelle had
cut short.
She had nothing. She had no reaction to that. And then it was like, and I pooped my pants. And she thought that was like the funniest thing in the world.
Michelle is a PG rated humorist.
Yes, exactly. Castration. No joke here. You know, she that probably watches Game of Thrones. She has no time for that type of thing. But yeah, pooping that your pants.
Incredible.
Now we're getting somewhere. No,
I just got crucified. She's like, I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, exactly. But did you poop your pants? Because that's amazing. I really actually liked the way this was handled, and had it not gone into so long of Edge of Extinction. I mean, it did go into that brief snippet of Sophie and Yule speaking on the call tribe.
Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. But this was short, but I thought it's the proper length. I thought like him going, talking to all of his people, Jeremy saying like, if Adam can come together and actually calm down, that's fine. We'll keep Adam around. Like, nobody dislikes Adam, but this all leads into what we see later on in the episode after the 10-minute commercial break, where you have Boston Rob and just owning Adam again. Oh, and yeah. Boston Rob, like I might not always be a fan of his gameplay. I might think it's dated. And we had Lex on here, and Lex even said, like, you know, sometimes it's one note. That's all it is. And I think Tommy said the same thing. It's one note. That's all it is. But what he did tonight was so good, because he already knew that the seeds of distrust were sown. And
it's a lie that people can buy.
I bought it. I mean, if I'm not,
it's like not untrue.
Not untrue at all, because he's sitting over there with the two of them, and all Boston Rob has to do is say, you guys don't trust him. So he's lying. He's trying to talk us up. And Adam, I feel bad for Adam because he's not trying to do anything, but still just walking off with them, it hurts.
Yeah. It hurts. And I think, like, wiping off the stain of being untrustworthy is going to be really hard, especially now that there's a swap.
Yeah, exactly. That
is, the swap is not looking good. It could look good for Adam. It really depends who he ends up with. Very glad that Sele won. I'm glad we're only one off heading into this. And regardless, so my mom made a good point that I missed until this episode. They're not swapping sit outs. Sandra's sitting out for the rest of her life.
Well, that's because they only do that if it's in the same episode. That's been something that's been going around for a while. Oh, okay. Because they kind of stopped doing the reward challenges. So you can sit out in back-to-back episodes. You just can't sit out in back-to-back challenges in the same episode. So if there was a reward and an immunity, Sandra would not be able to sit out every time. But I already hit my Sandra three sit out. The Sandra bench has already taken over for me to get there.
I loved that whole thing so much because Parvati drops that, and I took it the way that Sandra did, where I was like, that's funny.
Yeah.
And Jeff's like, oh my God, are you guys going to fight? I want you to fight. And Sandra's like, she's so right.
Jeff forgot heroes versus villains happened.
Exactly.
Like, it was like for a split second, he forgot that Parvati handed Sandra an idol at one point in that season. like, I mean, come on. Like, they're not
Parvati. All like, everyone's just trying to get rid of her and throw shade at her. She's doing nothing wrong.
Honestly, it's why though Parvati's able to last so long all the time is because everybody throws shade at her, but then they realize like, well, she's really not doing anything wrong.
No, she's doing nothing wrong.
Yeah. And then they get her
loyal
then they,
game, making fun of Sandra.
And it's too late. And then
you know what Parvati is doing wrong? Not jumping.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, we'll talk about that for sure. I mean, okay. First of all, those were so much higher than they are in previous seasons.
Yeah, that
I
looks
think,
horrible.
I think Adam had done this before, and it used to be like you would just run out and grab it, but now they made it more difficult. And they picked their three shortest people to go up there and jump. The three shortest. Like, even if you were like, okay, Adam's not really a good swimmer, Denise isn't really a good swimmer, Parv, can you just swim and we'll have, like, I don't know, Ben, just in case, go up there and jump, just in case they're higher than we think. Like, they do walkthroughs of these challenges beforehand. Mm-hmm. And they weren't even close. Like, Denise had no chance. Denise had to be on stilts for her to reach that. And even if she was on, like, a spring diving board, I still don't think Denise would have reached that.
Well, that's the thing. They couldn't even get a running starter. They couldn't really, like, commit to the jump because they were on, like a plank.
This was a very interesting little twist that they threw in because it was a little twist. It wasn't anything huge, but we're used to seeing them just kind of walk up the ramp or walk up the ladder and get like a little bit of a running start. Here they had to walk out on the plank, and I don't think they accounted for that. So you don't have a running start, and now you're just jumping from flat feet. I mean, the first time Adam grabbed it, he landed back on the board.
Yeah, that was insane.
I mean, Courtney Moon, anybody? There goes Adam's leg.
Yeah, that's a really good point because it – like, you obviously need the swimmers to be fast, but at the same time, when you have a puzzle like that, though, I guess that's not the puzzle that you'd expect people to get tripped up on. And
oh my God.
This reminded, I couldn't tell if this was like Cass coming back in the final four challenge, and that's why they kept shooting the camera back to them, or if we were about to get a like Adam redeems himself moment. I didn't really think that they were still going to win until they got to the puzzle.
This
and
was
Robin and Michelle crushed it.
Crushed it. This was probably as big of a comeback as what the Lesuit Four had because, I mean, different circumstances, obviously, but that puzzle wasn't that hard and Nick had already done it before. And I mean, Parvati kept jumping, and I'm assuming what happened was when Adam would jump, then Parvati was able to climb and at least give Adam a second. And that's why they were probably switching off who was jumping. But
yeah,
Parvati
it looks
was
like
never
it was
close
just
either.
Adam.
Yeah, because Parvati was never close either when she would try. But like, they were so far behind. I mean, Nick and Sarah had to have had a 15-minute head start at least on that puzzle. I don't know why they struggled so bad with it. I mean, they haven't struggled at the puzzle portion at all this season. I think they did a little bit last week where they gave up their lead, but they ultimately figured it out, and I think they just play conservatively. This one, I don't understand what happened because by the end of it, they had like two pieces in it. I don't even know if they were right.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess the Sophie, who switched out? Sophie's usually the puzzle person, so she must be a really good swimmer. So I thought Sarah was supposed to be a really good swimmer, but
No, they were swimming, right? Because it was four people were swimming and three people were in the boat.
Yeah.
So whoever could have done it, and I'm surprised that they went. I think they went with Nick because Nick had done it before, but Nick completely dropped the ball.
Yeah, and Nick said Nick had won that challenge.
Yeah,
it sounds like I didn't remember that.
Well, how bad was the Goliath tribe?
Pretty darn bad, I guess.
Like, I think that was the one he won maybe to have Jeremy sent home. But I don't know. I found that very interesting that they were able to come back. I mean, look, it was an awesome moment. I thought it was really great. I thought Boston Rob absolutely killed it on that puzzle. I mean, I loved Jeremy sitting there just being like, oh my God. Cause I don't think he believed this isn't happening. Yeah. He did not believe that it was about to happen. Even when he was just sitting there as the puzzle's going in, you could see like, he wasn't that excited. Cause I don't think he believed it. And then we get the really good confessional from Adam afterwards, his kind of like redemption thing where it was like, my mom said, all Adam's got to do is just once he puts his mind to it. And it's like knowing the whole story with his mom and all that, like it was just such like a, this was such a good episode for the Cele tribe. Like I really enjoyed everything we saw over there, and it's kind of like, yeah, we dwelled on Edge of Extinction early here because it was just too long, I think, but this Cele tribe, for a tribe that didn't go to tribal council, like really fun episode, really emotional episode. Like that's what I want to see. They're all still in the game. And as far as I'm concerned, if you get voted off on this season, you're not going to win. Like that's just not going to happen. So give me more time with the people who are still in, who have a better chance of winning. Like that's just what I want.
Yeah. I'm now, especially with how close like this Edge group is, this happened early. This is definitely going to happen again. So I'm super, super curious to hear, to see how it works out for the people who do return. Well,
and think about this. Let's say Natalie Anderson gets back in the game and sits a final tribal, right? And she's sitting against, let's say, two people from the blue tribe. Let's just say it's Michelle and Jeremy. Adam. Yeah, Michelle and Adam, Michelle and Jeremy, whoever it is. And then you have Natalie Anderson. Amber's only met Natalie Anderson. Of course she's going to vote for Natalie Anderson. Tyson, even though he knows, I think he's probably met Michelle and I know he's met Adam, even though he knows them, he still only knows at Natalie Anderson. So it's so crazy to me, like this what Edge of Extinction is able to do. It's not that you're a better game player. And like, look, what they did tonight, what all four of them did tonight is impressive. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that when I'm on a full belly and I can just imagine the heat and all that. Like, I don't want to do that. But just because you're in this thing where you literally don't have to worry about strategy, it's just about getting up there. They can all hold hands and sing Kumbaya while Ethan is going up there to get his last log. You can't do that in the game. I mean, Tyson even said, oh, we'll get an easy vote out of the way and then it'll all be back to Kumbaya. Well, great. And now Tyson went home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Well, don't give me so much to complain about, Survivor. That's all I'm going to say.
I was actually super concerned that Yul was going home because Yul had the kiss of death confessional that was like, I've got options. We're all good. But he is fine. He did have his mouth blurred. So for the 0% of you who put Yul getting his mouth blurred in our prop bet, congratulations. He did it.
I love that.
I was very excited that he called Tony an a-hole. I thought that was amazing.
So fun. And I even like Tony's reaction.
Tony was so hurt. I know.
He was like, oh, well, you know.
He's so sweet.
You would really think that, though. I mean, Yul's right. You get a different perspective.
I did not like Tony and Kagyan.
No,
I don't. I love him. But Tony was so amazing. Cute. Like, he's so sweet.
Yeah.
But and even Tyson, he was like, is it this easy? Is it this easy? Mm-hmm. But you see this a lot. I've seen this ton in modern seasons, and it's probably because I've been analyzing Survivor a lot more than I have in my previous 15 years. But that easy vote, as soon as it's decided early, that's not the vote that happens.
Well, that's the truth. But then Tyson was decided so quickly after. I was like, is it going to spin and be some third party here? Because Nick and Tyson
seem both too obvious. I was waiting for like, to get the hit. Yeah,
I was just waiting for something random. But then again, I mean, we have to always, I mean, we'll talk about the preview for next week, but we'll get there. I just want to say, we go from Invisishell to all of a sudden, like, the tag for next week, the thing that's bringing you back is that her ex-boyfriend is that it's like, wow.
Wendell with the tweet of the night, it was just welp.
Yeah, I love it. So anybody good. Who's wondering about that, it's Wendell, who is Michelle's ex-boyfriend, and the two of them are going to be on the same tribe next week. So.
And there's no one more excited for that than me and Phil, because I have a not so secret crush on Wendell, and Phil has a loud and proud crush on Michelle. So.
I don't have a loud and proud crush on Michelle. She's just the greatest winner of all time.
You're passively interested. I have an obsession with Wendell.
Yeah, that's exactly. No, and I mean, not to get off topic here, incredible. But like, cannot wait for that to happen. And I can't believe though, and I just wish people would like really like put this into perspective. The tease for a swap episode of Survivor was just that Michelle Fitzgerald is on a tribe with her ex-boyfriend.
It's like, incredible.
It's so crazy. Like, who would have thought that would be a tease for this season? It's all winners.
And you know that she, and like, there's a lot. Okay, let's just talk about it. There's a lot to unpack with it because, I mean, I've only internet stalked them so much. I do not know anything about their personal lives. Like, we had a title. Like, she dropped a B-bomb. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She drops the boyfriend bomb.
Well,
where are we at with that? Are we being family friendly? And I thought even, I was like, oh, I, before Wendell's tweet, I was like, oh, maybe she's just doing an analogy. And they're really just like hitting us with a red herring. But oh no, Michelle and Wendell are in the same tribe and someone's not happy about it.
No, there's no way that that was going to be an analogy. I think it's so funny. I mean, look, it's one of those things too. I don't know how much the other survivors actually know about this one, because obviously they were all worried about Rob and Amber, and it, because they're pretty openly married. I think people know about that one. But
maybe
I don't,
got married on national TV.
I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah, we all knew that Michelle and Wendell had a thing, but what, we never saw the B-bomb, like you said. We never actually saw that out there. So maybe everybody didn't really think it was all that serious. And now she's saying that, and it's
maybe
like,
that's
well,
why they're exes.
Yeah, you're going to let these two people be on the same tribe. And like, maybe they, maybe they're exes who are like still friends. So they work together. Maybe they're not. But like, I'm trying to figure this out, Alexa. Maybe you can help me. Is Wendell the MVP for being Michelle's ex, or the LVP for being Michelle's ex?
Well, it depends how they broke up.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, I'm just so, oh God, I'm so incredibly excited for this. Like, did it end poorly? I can't imagine it did. They both are like wonderful people, but oh man, talk about a dive into your personal life on national television.
Right away.
And you know, when she said that, she's like, that's the clip. Oh, like, yeah, this is going to go super viral.
She probably thought that was going to be the only confessional she got all season, but damn, she was going to get it. Also, I know nobody wants to hear me say it, and I don't really give a shit, because like, you're all tuned in. So if you're listening,
I don't know what he's about to say.
It's your mistake, not mine. Did we notice again, for, I think this is the third out of 4 weeks, Michelle being disappointed with how the reaction was to her win and wanting to prove herself was mentioned yet again.
So that was, I loved that scene, because, and that was just like, that was a camp life scene. Like, there was, there, nothing came of that. So loved that. And then the Michelle and Wendell couples tell all. We
somebody
will,
make
we
it
will
happen.
Do our damnedest to make that happen. So she says that. And then Rob makes the point, like, hey, if you win, you win. And there's a clear cut. And then it's just Michelle absolutely cracking up, because you know he said, I won Redemption Island.
Yeah,
and she's just like dying.
Or it's probably because his wife, he has to say that to quite often right when they first got married, because Amber won and nobody thought she deserved to win.
Excellent point. It was one of those. And I like her laugh, that was a like belly laugh. Like he said something funny there.
And if anybody wants to know, the real reason Boston Rob is the MVP is because he was encouraging Michelle. And that's all I really care about. Yeah. So.
Oh, also, great comment in the chat. This is like X on the Beach. What's that trash show, that really bad show that Jay was on?
Jay was on it, right? I was going to say.
X on the Beach.
This is it. This is it. Adam.
This is the new Love is Blind.
Little do we know that Adam Klein and Michelle were actually dating, but she's just realizing now that they dated. She's like, oh my God, back. Why did this happen? It would be great though if it wasn't Wendell, if it was somebody else. Like, she was actually like her ex-boyfriend was Nick Wilson. Like, that would be pretty awesome. I mean, Nick went goo goo gaga today at Tribal. So
he's crushing Parvati, and Jeff is like, please, Nick, keep it in your pants.
Please, please. She's married. She has a child. Please stop.
She's
married.
She's not a flirt anymore. She's a mom, Nick.
Yeah, exactly. You have a wife. Calm the hell down. No, I loved it. I mean, I think, again, like, it goes back to how good these characters are. And I oh no, what happened? I didn't see it.
Brendan.
That's true. So Adam and Michelle, if they were dating, it was
a eunuch.
Yeah, exactly. What's the word? Why can't I think of the word? Celibate. That's
someone
what it was.
Have,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's someone who doesn't have sex is what Alexa was going
to
say.
I know. I was about to describe what a eunuch was, but.
Oh yeah, no. A eunuch is Lord Varys. That's what. That's
yeah,
what
well, everyone. That's a word that no one on the planet had heard of until Game of Thrones happened. So,
History of the World Part One. Everybody, Mel Brooks comedy. Everybody knows this. He is a eunuch. Somebody go watch that clip. Somebody find the Mel Brooks clip.
All right, let's go to the Red Tribe. So Tony's the one who flips this around.
Yeah, I know.
He's off of house arrest.
And let's. Let's be honest. Tony's probably right here. I know I made an argument earlier that getting rid of Tyson was because you're worried about all the things he has on the other side. I do think that keeping Tyson is probably the right move here, though, because Nick is dangerous because he gets underestimated. And he even said tonight, you know, I almost feel like I'm not that good of a Survivor player because I'm sitting around all these legends. Nick's not stupid. Now, he might come across as stupid and he might not be able to recover from that later. But if there's anybody who can do it, it's Nick, because that's exactly how he won David versus Goliath.
Yeah, so, that is how we won.
And Tony made a great point. He's not a shield for anybody. He's not a target and he's not a shield. Tyson is both, and he would actually align with you. I don't know. I could understand where Sandra was coming from. I could understand where they're all coming from, that Tyson just has too many people on the other side. Tyson's a little too sneaky. But, man, you really get no benefit from keeping Nick around, I don't think.
I don't know. I think Nick – well, I think from the knowledge that they have, they don't know that Nick has this secret alliance with Yul and Sophie. Mm-hmm. So I think to them, they probably think that they can control Nick, because that's the game – that's what Nick is playing up. That's his persona. You can't control Tyson. And Tyson even said, he's like, I need to be the one in control for this situation because no one else is doing anything. And I think they probably know there's a swap coming. They know that Tyson and Boston Rob are tight. And I think Boston Rob is still going to be public enemy number one.
Yeah, and now you have Boston Rob making a swap on Survivor. Now, yeah, really, with probably the way it's going to roll, and because I thought what I thought Michelle's confessional was going to be was, how did I end up on a tribe alone, or how did I end up on an island alone? Like, kind of get the Julia Sokolowski, you know? But but instead, she does say she's with her ex. So I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to three tribes, and if we go to three tribes, Boston Rob now has a 2 out of 3 chance of not losing, of not going to tribal. Man, you guys just let this guy make the merge? You're going to let Boston Rob make the merge? Are you kidding me? Like, and I'm not saying he's going to, because his tribe could still be the weaker tribe, but I just think it's kind of crazy that it's gotten to this point where Boston Rob and Parvati and Sandra, they're all still there. Like, we've lost some cool names and we've lost some people we've wanted to watch play again for a long time, but just those three people that I just said, probably the three biggest threats coming into the game are still in the game. That's pretty unbelievable.
It's incredible. And it shows why they're the three best winners.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, Tony, the two people with statues built of them have made it to emerge.
Incredible.
That's crazy. I don't know.
I would go so far as to say that one of them makes the merge.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Did I say merge thing, instead, right, of swap? I meant to say swap.
I mean, you said swap, but I'm just going further.
Yeah.
But like, what's so bananas about both of them, about both Rob and Sandra, is everyone knows what Rob's doing and it's still happening. Sandra said at tribal council, where nobody gives anything, and she was saying, she was like, yeah, that's my move. Yeah. If it's not me, like, everyone knows it. Like, I'm down with whoever, as long as it ain't me. And she's still saying it. Everyone's just like, yeah, we don't need to write down Sandra's name. Like, yeah. What?
Yeah, I know. And how many times did she actually say anybody but me tonight? I think she said it 3 or 4 times.
And Jeff said it, like Tyson said it. Yep. And next week, she's incredibly safe because that's her last day to play the idol.
Yep. She's incredibly safe at the next time she goes to tribal. I don't know, man. I think Sandra's around for a little bit. I mean, she just missed the merge on her last season. I think maybe this season she actually makes the merge. That'd be pretty cool. And then she's on the jury and that'd be awesome. I mean, just everybody's gonna be on the jury, so that doesn't even matter. But
yeah.
You know, that's just another point that we'll get to at some other time. One thing I really wanted to mention too was, I love Sophie's move of not putting her hair up in any way. And I know Kim's not putting her hair up either, but I just think it's kind of like Sophie's got some really cool jungle hair going on. And I think it's interesting how, like, most of the women, they put their hair up in some way, or, like, you know, they have the braids. Sarah had the braids. Other people have it in, like, ponytails or just stuff. And Sophie's just like, nah, it's here. And it's just like, it's kind of like,
it's a nest and it's here.
It's starting to expand a little bit because it's not that long. So it's kind of starting to grow out. I'm just a big fan of it. Like, the more and more she kind of looks like, I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie The Descent. It's like this horror movie, but there's the main character in that looks exactly like Sophie, or like for part of it. And the more that movie went on, she starts looking crazier and crazier. And that's what's happening to Sophie. Like, she's just starting to get that like, I'm going to kill all of you look. So I don't know. I'm a big fan of it. I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm loving Sophie. And also, like, so Sophie had this confession. He's like, oh yeah, we went on a field trip where they took us to a jail.
I know.
What the hell?
I know. I thought that was so funny. And honestly, I think we went on a similar field trip, but we never actually saw anybody who was in jail. They were just like, this is a cell. And I was like, I don't want to be in that. Yeah. I mean, I think it was like, maybe it's like, I don't know where Sophie's from, but maybe it's like a really small town thing where it's just like, oh, you don't want to go to jail, do you?
Like, look at these people.
Yeah. Look at these people. But I thought that was a great comparison because she's looking over there and she's like, I don't want to be them. They're just sitting over there. Like, that's terrible. And imagine too, like, you don't lose. So you're trying to figure out who's over there. I can't really tell who's over there.
Yeah, I know. Cool. I bet it's too far where you can't see. It's like that scene in The Hangover where he's like, you don't want to be one of these kids.
Yeah.
Like, Loserville.
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to be the one who gets zapped? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Thinking is Loserville.
It's Loserville. I mean, but that's crazy that tribe.
From Willsboro, New York. That sounds
okay.
Like
so that's probably a small town where they would take their kids to a jail. Yeah. Make sure you don't go there.
Oh, it's like North New York. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That explains that. But, I just like, I don't think Celle has as good of a view of all of that as Decal does. So I think for Decal, it's like, man, who went? And they haven't been since Amber went home. So there's two people over there. They knew Danny was gone, obviously. But I feel like before they knew Ethan was gone, it was who's over there? We should try to figure this out. Like, and I feel like that's probably a fun game to play. Like, try to determine the outline of the person's body and say that's who it is.
Like, I bet like a man versus woman, it's probably distinguishable. Like Danny's wicked tall.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
But Ethan's kind of, and this isn't to say Ethan has a feminine body by any means.
Like,
but
Ethan and Danny are both lean and skinny.
They're both very skinny and probably around the same height. Like if it's Ben over there, you can tell because he's got that cowboy hat. And like, you're gonna be able to see the cowboy hat no matter how far away you are. But, and if it's Adam, maybe you can be like, oh, that's kind of like a short guy. That kind of looks like a guy, right? But Ethan, I feel like, would be a tough one to figure out. They're probably all hard to figure out. What are we talking about?
I bet it's really far away. Yeah.
What are we talking about? But there was something else I wanted to say and I completely lost it. It completely went out of my head. And now I'm mad. And now I'm mad. So I'll just talk about Michelle going to win. You know, that's it.
Michelle's going to win. Not if her ex-boyfriend has something to say about it.
I know. Oh my God. I hope that is
the entire episode. I got to rewatch that. That was unreal.
So funny. I really hope that that's it. So somebody just said, Logan Reed's off topic. What is the game Rob is playing? It is like a bar game. That's all it is. It's this bar game where you throw a disc and it's all about touch and you just try to get it on a hook. But you have to bank it off to get it to land on the hook. It's insanely hard. Like, there is nothing easy about it.
Yeah. It's sorry. I'm just looking at Wendell's tweet and someone replied with Michelle's bro. I know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That game is super tough. And that was another thing. When did Rob connect? When Michelle was talking about winning.
He's done that. Yeah, I know. And also, like, I can't get over how much Michelle is talking about winning and how much she wants to prove herself, which is awesome. But also, look at how Boston Rob, a lot of times people are just coming up to him while he's playing that stupid freaking game.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. He's doing something right because they keep coming up to him. It's when he goes on the offensive that he has to leave his little perch. But normally it seems like that's what he's doing. And maybe that's what he does like all day, like at home. Amber just hates that. Like, he just stands there and just keeps throwing that for hours on end. That would drive me crazy.
That's like the ultimate kids game. Like, just flinging it. Hey, I mean, it's probably a good distraction.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about was Tyson had a phenomenal line as he left. Phenomenal. And he said, here you go, Nick, or something along these lines. Like, here you go, Nick. I'll give you a fire token from your survivor hero. What do you think about him giving it to Nick? And do you think that this is going to propel Nick to like start doing better in the game? Or you think it's not really going to make a difference?
I think this is going to really propel Nick. I thought he was going to give it to Boston Rob, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I have a question.
He can give it to anybody.
Okay. You read my mind.
I did. Because you were going to say, is it only your tribe? No, because Amber gave it to Rob.
I was like, can you give it to someone who's on the edge of extinction?
No, you can't do that.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that's going to result in a hot mess in the second half of the merge, but I'll deal with that later.
Well, especially now. So how do we feel too? Okay. So there's a lot of things I want to talk about here. I do agree. I think Nick's game is going to propel forward. How do we feel about the fact that the Edge of Extinction people just got tokens without having to get them from anybody? Because granted, that's only going to work for them if they actually get back into the game. But how do we feel about this as a thing that happens? Because I'm assuming you have to sell them to get advantages in the challenge and all that stuff. But how do we feel about this?
I just can't really tell. Are people going to hoard these or are people going to spend them? And also, I think with now that there are more fire tokens than people left, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, there's 24. Yeah, there's 24 tokens.
But then like Jeremy and Sarah, where did they fire? Oh, they went to Natalie. Oh my God.
Yeah. So there's 24 fire tokens total in the game. And seven of them are on Edge of Extinction. So 17 are left in the game and there's 16 people.
I'm just watching. I'm just the final six. They all have seven fire tokens. They're all going to buy advantages.
Yeah.
That's
and
where
I guess
I'm seeing this going and I don't like that.
Like if you're Natalie Anderson, what do you do? Do you try to get back in at the merge or do you continue to save all of your fire tokens and just try to last as long as you can out there and get back in later? Like what do you spend all your fire tokens early or no?
I think you got to get back in the game. I think I that's the only way she wins, but that's an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not loving that. I don't love that.
And I'm assuming, I guess that those tokens that like Ethan, Danny, all of them have, they're never going to get to anybody who's actually in the game. And the only way that they're going to get back into the game is if they actually get back into the game. Otherwise, I think that they're just kind of like a wasted currency. So I guess I'm okay with that they got it, but I do have a little bit of a problem that that now there's four extra fire tokens and I don't really know what's going to happen with them.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess it depends. Like now that there's just more people, like Natalie Anderson's not going to win every single advantage.
Yeah, I think Tyson's going to actually start to impact that.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully next week with a swap, we don't get nearly as much at Edge of Extinction. Look, I get it. Tonight was the Ethan thing. I love Ethan, huge Ethan fan. It was still too much. Like, it's just too much. And I've said that so many times, but hopefully next week we just don't get really any of it because we're going to have three tribes probably. We got to bounce around between all of them. I want more from Denise. Like, I want more from Yule and Sophie and everybody who's still in the game. I want more from Nick and Wendell. Give me whoever's actually in the game. I don't need anything else. Because really, like, okay, last time the person who won the game was from Edge of Extinction. So we were all wrong. It was like we were supposed to be watching that. But on an all-winner season, is a person who goes to Edge of Extinction really going to win the season? I don't think so. So to me, it just kind of feels like a lot of energy wasted that we could be spending with, you know, these great characters who are just stabbing each other over and over again. It seems like every opportunity they get, they're just screwing each other over some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I'm thinking we get 3 minutes because it's Tyson who's coming in. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, they have to deal with the new swap dynamics. So it won't be nearly as long.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be nearly as long. They probably won't. They wouldn't stack those things back to back. It's not going to be like, okay, now go pick up 21 logs and carry them down.
Yeah, well, all the girls did 21 laps.
I know. Same. Well, Ethan might have done like 1,000 laps, just like going up one step and falling back down, going up a step, falling back down. So who knows? He could have done a lot more than what we actually saw. I don't know.
When you were referencing Tyson, I thought you were going to say that a certain someone's fantasy team is
garbage.
Is well, and it was trash.
It was good this year that we had the ghost. Like we all had like the ghost tribe or whatever we call it. Like it was you, me, and Vaughn, and then we have the ghost tribe. Normally we just give it to somebody and it was good this year. We just gave it to interning. Yumi and Vaughn did very well. Out of the first five boots, four of them were on the ghost team. Four of them were on the team of just leftovers. But fun fact for intern who I'm referring to as the ghost team right now, he spent all of his money. He was the only one out of all of us to spend all of his money. He spent all $500. The $500 he spent was across four players. Their names were Amber, Natalie, Ethan, and Tyson. He has Sarah on his team, and he got her for free because me and Vaughn and Alexa didn't want her, or because me and Vaughn didn't want her. Alexa had already run out of money at that point. But because me and Vaughn did not want her, intern got Sarah. And that's the only person he has left. Whoopsies.
Sarah's killing it.
Yeah, she's doing great, but also don't mess up like that, man. Like, be better. We can't be having you on as one of our specialists if you're going to lose the four people you spent money on in the first four episodes, four of his people are gone.
We might need a new intern.
We might need a new intern.
I hate to say it,
goodbye, intern. You're out of here. I mean, I mean, who do you have for MVP? It's not Sarah. Sarah was cool, but it's not Sarah. So he doesn't get MVP.
To me, the MVP is Nick. Nick's head was on the chopping block. He's been on the chopping block for a little bit. He recognized that, did not freak out, and he pulled the Devin move. He threw the vote on Kim because he knew every single person was voting out Tyson. I thought mm-hmm. that was a smart move.
Yeah, let's talk about that too, because from where we were sitting, from the way that it was breaking down, we thought it was going to be a 4-4 split or a 5-4 split, and Nick was going to be part of that five. It seemed like there was actually a pretty good chance that four people were actually going to vote for Nick and four were going to vote for Tyson, and then he would throw his vote and vote out Tyson. So when that happened, it was like, wait, are we going to get a 4-4 tie here?
Or is he about to Tyson himself?
And I thought that was crazy. But also, I think Nick knew what was going on. And I think this is definitely something you have to do. This was 100% the right vote for Nick to make, because he knew that Tyson would vote for him. And he knew every other vote was going on Tyson. Let's just say, I mean, Tyson probably thought every other vote was going on Nick. So he had to make this Kim vote, because if Tyson does play an idol, which he was acting cocky, or not cocky, but arrogant and confident and all of that. Yeah. And if Tyson plays an idol, Nick goes home because of the one vote. You have to make this vote and put it on Kim, because everybody can get behind throwing votes at Kim afterwards rather than throwing votes at Nick. Which he didn't want to happen.
And Tyson was very surprised. Like, when he got that second vote, he was like, oh crap, I'm out.
Yeah, because I think he really did a lot of his work right at the beginning and then wasn't too concerned and was trying to play it confident. So I don't know. I think Tyson was surprised. I don't think he was as shocked as maybe he played it up. I just think that he still knows that there's a chance to get back in the game, and he wants to be like, damn, I thought I was loyal. I thought we were all loyal. Like, I think that's what he's kind of trying to do.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, but I think, I mean, Nick's a good option there. I think Boston Rob is a great option. Both of them are on my tribe. I'm just saying.
Adam, you could make a argument for Adam. There's a lot of good tonight.
And I had them all. I have Adam. I have Nick. I have Boston Rob. Give whoever you want those votes. Somebody here, Jordan Alford, is saying Wendell MVP. I mean, he could be, but I don't think he is. Like, he had a big role in tonight's vote, but it wasn't really like his move so much. Like, it seems like it was his move, but it wasn't really his move. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's got to be somebody from my team. Wendell's over on Vaughn's team. Let's keep him there. I don't know. I'm just sitting here with my lead on all y'all.
Hey, at least I have a team.
Unfortunately, Alexa, for you and me, we're not going to be able to get the win their way back in points. That's going to go all to intern. It's so BS.
That is a very good point. Yes. And that's a lot of points.
It's not fair that we can't get that, but intern can get so many of them, because he's got right now, he has a 4-5 shot. That's pretty damn good. If it were to be Danny who won her way back in, that would just be absolutely hilarious.
Because it's got to be Danny.
I know. I hope Sarah is the next one to go, although I really don't hope that. And then they just do the challenge right then and there, and Danny wins her way back in. And Jeff's like, actually, if you were voted out this early, you have to leave. You don't get to be on the jury. And then intern's entire team just goes home on the boat, and that's it. Final 15, or everybody intern didn't pick.
Exactly. Do you know who said the episode title tonight?
What was the episode title tonight?
It was something funny, but no, I don't remember. Survivor.
Episode 4. Somebody's going to end up saying it in the chat before we think of anything.
Yeah, someone.
Somebody said Sandra said it.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah. All right, we'll give it Sandra.
Sandra said it. Okay. So yeah. Sandra's got it. Sandra sat out three times. It's a big one for me. Anything else hit tonight? I know mouths were blurred. That's for sure.
Yule has a mouth blur. Everyone cried. Natalie has 4 fire tokens. So if you had Natalie getting 5 fire tokens, that's probably going to happen next week. No, I think we're good for right now. That's about it.
I think we're good for right now too. All right. Well, next week's a swap. 3 tribes to 5. So right now we think we know who our guest is going to be on Sunday, but we're not 100% sure, just because we have a very small window of time that we can do it. So it shall remain a surprise, and hopefully that'll work out. If it does, it'll be fun, and they'll get the unfortunate task of trying to figure out who is going home on the swap episode, and we won't even know the tribes. We just know Wendell and Michelle are together. So maybe we just put Wendell at the bottom, because obviously the queen slays and that's what happens, and the queen stays queen and the queen is Michelle. And everybody get mad at that, because I love reading your comments about to call anybody the queen other than Sandra. And I'm just like, oh, you want me to keep calling Michelle the queen? Oh, I will. I think I will.
Natalie closing the gap on Jeff Bezos. Great.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, Natalie's such a finance bro. I'm loving it.
She was a billionaire with 3 tokens. So what is she now with 4? I mean, this is going to be unreal. She's going to be the world's first trillionaire.
I'm so happy for her.
Good for her. She can split it with her 20.
Her 20. Exactly. All right. So yeah, we'll be back likely on Sunday with TBD guests. We're just working out our timing, but we're super excited to talk to him slash her. You will find out hopefully soon. In the meantime, make sure to become a patron. This is bracket month. So we're going to do a bracket. We have a couple ideas for what we'll do for our retrospective bracket. We have Q&A podcasts. We have a great Facebook group that you can all be a part of. So make sure to become a patron. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, whole shebang. And we'll be back this weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. Wash your hands.
Yeah, wash your hands.